David's presenting on the effectiveness of BT cotton towards boll worms and the benefit of supplemental oversprays.
Thanks a lot, Steve. So this is a project that we've been doing this for a number of years, really standardized it the last 2 years, and essentially what we were looking at is whether or not the various BT technologies, and of course we're just working with the commercially available ones at the time, actually see if you see a benefit from treating these technologies for Lepidopterous pests. In our case, this will be boll worms. And this is a group project, a regional project throughout the Mid-South, with a lot of participation from my colleagues. Just a quick look at our experimental design, and I will point out that I don't have all the data in. We've got several outstanding locations that I need to include in the data set. And so, you know, things could change based on when that data is also incorporated into this entire data set. In 2014, we had 5 locations throughout the Mid-South, and in 2015, we had 7, and these included sites in Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Tennessee. These are small plot studies, 4 rows by, say, 50 feet. In general, that was the plot lengths. It's a factorial design with cotton technologies as a factor and the insecticide, whether we sprayed them or we didn't. And on my left here is the list of the technologies we looked at. Of course, we put in a non-BT, which was a Phytogen 315. We included Wide Strike, Phytogen 499, and of course the proteins associated with that entry is our Cry1AC and Cry1F. And Bogard 2, which was Stoneville 5288. And again, that's a Cry1AC, Cry2AB2 for the toxins with that one. Twin Link, which was Stoneville 5289, which is Cry1AB and Cry2AE, and Wide Strike 3, which essentially, in this case, was Phytogen 495. It's essentially 499 with the addition of the VIP protein in the event stack. And then what we did is that they were either, we had plots that received no insecticide supplemental sprays, and then we had others that when you detected a significant boll worm infestation were treated with 20 ounces of Prevathon. All right, and I just simply I normalized the data. There were some differences among sites. You know, we have that many people collecting data. Sometimes you get a little bit of different techniques used, but we were able to normalize the data as far as yield, fruit injury, and what we saw as far as number of larvae. And we calculated these by normalizing by determining the percentage of difference relative to our non-treated non-BT. And so what I'm going to show today, I'm not going to split all these sites out or look at some very intricate parts of the study, but we're just going to look at across locations for this day, for what we're going to look at today. And then we use proxgenomics to analyze the data. Our random effects were site year or rep site year and variety by rep site year. And then what we did is we used the slice diff option in the LS mean statements to split out that difference between where we sprayed and where we didn't spray. So that way we're taking out the effect of where you may see yield differences just based on genetics of the different varieties. And then what I also did is I took data from the host set. And then we perform regression analysis to look at relationship in fruit injury and yield. And we use the route coefficient Q of 1% to eliminate the outliers. I'm going to go right into the data. And so this is the accumulation of 2014 and 2015 across both locations. And what we're looking at here is difference in larvae. So what I really want to concentrate on, look at percent reduction in larvae. And don't necessarily compare each line, but look at each line independently. So within, like, say, Wide Strike, what's the difference from where we sprayed it from where we did not treat it? And you can see we saw some significant effects, particularly with the non-PT, almost a 63% difference in the larvae. Wide Strike was significant, came out at 18.73. Twin Link, about 9%. Bogard 2, 10%. And we saw no significant differences between where we sprayed and where we didn't spray with Wide Strike 3 as far as the number of larvae or difference in larvae. Now let's look at the injured fruit. Because this is where where it really starts making a difference. Again, with the non-BT, you're looking at about 61% reduction in fruit injury from treating versus non-treat across all locations. Wide Strike 22%, Twin Link 7, and we saw no significant difference in fruit injury in Bolgard 2 or Wide or in Bolgard 2, but we did Wide Strike 3, about 7% difference in injury. So we do see some difference where we're looking at worms versus where we're looking at the fruit. And, you know, that could be because you see these little worms get added into these counts, right? And so if we're killing those with the BT technology, you know, we may still see those differences expressed with our insect counts, but not necessarily in the injury. Now let's look at yield across all locations where we had these different events. And again, we saw about a 21% increase in yield from treating non-BT cotton, again, across all locations. Wide Strike was 8%, and then we didn't see any significant differences in yield across when you accumulate all locations in any of the other technologies. But that kind of skews the results, though, because invariably you're going to have locations where, you know, actually there may be a difference. And so you don't want to necessarily only concentrate on the big picture. You may want to look at the narrow picture as well. And that's what I'm going to try to do here is to pull these out and if we look at it as a percent of test locations where differences in yield were detected. And what's telling here is it's interesting because even with the where we had none of the technologies exhibited a benefit from spraying or even the non-BT. So at almost 17% of our sites, it didn't matter even on the non-BT, where we didn't do any sprays, that you would still see, you wouldn't necessarily need to treat those. When you look at non-BT, of course, about 67% of the trials benefited from spraying. Wide Strike, about 33% of those. Twin Link, 17%. Bolgard 2 was 8.3%. And it was exactly the same as Wide Strike 3. So there are those instances where you'll definitely see a benefit in treating any of the technologies. It's just that you're going to be a lot less likely to run into those, you know, on this end of the spectrum versus this end. So what that means is we have to scout these technologies because you can't predict this, right? So why do we see this unexpected injury in some of these BT technologies? And there's a lot of things that could play a role in this. I mean, it could go from everything from, you know, how well some of these varieties express. We've seen that in the past where some varieties just don't express some of the toxins as well as others. Plant maturity and health as far as how good they're expressing the events over time and with the environmental conditions. Pest pressure. I mean, if we're not seeing pest pressure, I mean, for instance, at one of our locations last year at St. Joe, we had no worms. So it didn't really benefit the spray, even the non-BT in that case. So, and of course, and then there's resistance. And I don't know, I would ask if you get a chance, we have a poster on BT resistance that's set up. And I want to show you just one slide off that poster. It's Dr. Fei Yang's work. And I would encourage you to go look at it, because what this shows is that indeed what we're seeing could very well be a shift toward less susceptible bollworms, at least to Cry1AC. This table represents the LC50 values and resistance ratios of populations of cotton bollworms collected through various parts of the Mid-South relative to a known susceptible that we obtained from the USDA. But what I'd really concentrate in is what are these LC50 values looking like? You know, we still see some fairly susceptible populations, but there are a few in here that are very suspect. And so we're hypothesizing that we are definitely seeing this shift in susceptibility to bollworms to Cry1AC, and that this may very well play a role in how some of these, well, we know they're going to, how these technologies are going to perform, particularly something like WideStrike, where Cry1F is extremely weak on bollworms, right? So if we're starting to see this Cry1AC start to give way to bollworms, resistant bollworms, well, then, you know, it's not going to be able to stand up to it. So the question is, well, when do we spray? And that's another great thing about this data set is I can pull all the data out of this and actually look at this relationship that we see with injury to yield. And I want to concentrate on injury, and it goes right back to those little worms. You got to give the technology time to work. And unfortunately, we have a lot of, we actually this last year had quite a few growers spraying on eggs. And we do not recommend that at all. And because you have to give the technology time to work. And you can see a lot of those locations I showed previously, there's a high percentage of locations where that technology will work. I think it's just hitting those ones, you know, if you get that bad population that you can't control. So what we're looking at is a change in percentage of yield versus our change in percentage free. So really what we're interested in here is the slope of this line so that we can take it back and using some of pedagogues and economic threshold work, we can come up with the economic injury level. And this is the formula that we've all used this same formula or something very similar to it, where you're looking at the intercept of your line minus your yield potential divided by, you know, the slope of that line you develop. Now it should come up with our injury level. We also computed a gain threshold into this. So this is the amount of difference you have to make up due to loss or due to the cost associated with control and the value of the crop. And I'll tell you what, we set ours at a low, a medium, and a high yield potential, with low being 100 pounds of lint, medium 1,200, and high 1,400 pounds of lint. And then we varied our crop value from 65 cents, 75 cents, and 85 cents a pound. And that puts together this nice little chart. And we set, now what we did is we went ahead and set our economic threshold at 80% of injury. And this is what you'd end up with as far as your thresholds based on fruit, percent fruit injury. And so at 65 cent cotton, if it's low yielding, you know, you're bumping right up there at 14% injury that you could stand. And then on the high end, with a high value crop, high yielding situation, you're looking at about 6%. And so, I mean, if you kind of throw it in the middle, if you want to pick a kind of a middle range, you know, you're looking at about 10% fruit injury as a threshold in this particular data set. So in conclusion, all the current technologies we have, at least in the Mid-South, they're subject to unacceptable injury. We've seen it even with WideStrike 3, all the commercially available ones, we've seen unacceptable injury in them. WideStrike among the technology does appear to be the most susceptible, may followed by TwinLink, lastly, Bogard 2 and WideStrike 3. Susceptibility may be influenced by variety, you know, crop stage, all those factors that may influence the expression of the toxins in the tissues. And that with BT, since BT cotton can suffer these unacceptable injuries, we want to definitely scout them, base our decision making on not eggs and not first neonate larvae, but maybe second instar or older larvae. And right now we're looking at probably around a 10% threshold. And with that, I'll thank you. We have about a minute, I think, for
yeah,
questions.
Mike.
This is a simple one. How are you defining, when you go out on the field and monitor, how are you defining fruit injury?
What
size of the fruit and what are you looking for?
Now, on our fruit injury, it's based on squares and bowls.
Okay.
Right? And it's penetration. It's not superficial type feeding. It is it's true penetration.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul.
And are you still seeing
much difference between the location of the worms that do escape. Because in South Texas, we still mainly see them in flowers.
You know, if we went back 3 years ago, it seemed to be more common that we'd see it associated with blooms and bloom tag feeding. But in recently, we've seen a lot of terminal feeding. And I think, I don't know if you saw Dr. Gore's presentation on at the consultants' conference. He covered a lot of that. We're seeing a lot of terminal feeding with these bollworms now. Excuse me? Yes. Thanks.
Thanks, David.